The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 8:15, you can belly up to the Talk Bar, and here we are. And it's State Senator and Secretary of State candidate Dennis Linthicum who is in town. And actually, you kind of look like you'd be at that bar, like the Toby Keith song. Anyway, how you doing this morning, Senator?
I'm doing great. It's good to be here. I'm in town today because I was at the Department of Transportation public hearing, road show, as they call it.
That was yesterday, 5 to 7.
That was yesterday, that's right. Yeah, well, so we came in at 11:30 in the morning, and RVDT, or TD, I guess, the Rogue Valley Transit District. They did a road show in a bus and toured us around and showed some of the legislators who aren't familiar with the area, things that are under construction, and talked about the Alameda fire and how ODOT was involved in helping evacuate people and get people in and out of these tight circumstances.
Now, were you riding one of the regular transit buses?
We were.
It the one that has the logos or everything on the outside that make it look like there are people inside the bus even when they're not?
No. It had regular windows so we could see the sights as we drove around.
Oh, okay. Good.
And it was a compressed natural gas bus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
By the way, those aren't considered clean anymore, according to the green.
Right. Well, and it's amazing how fast those are brand new buses. They hardly have scratches on them. They're so new. And somehow that's not clean enough when it comes to green energy. We're going to have to use renewable natural gas, which there is no such thing as renewable anything. Planet Earth has the state of entropy, you know, these scientific concepts never get talked about. Nobody knows that the whole place would run down if we didn't put energy back into it. And so it's really an incredible story to have people put their wishes on the table, and there's no real, you know, backing for anything.
Is this the standard dog and pony show, this hearing, which was yesterday in Medford, this transportation committee? And was this just the standard thing about manufacturing consent for where they want to take it, the preconceived outcome here, Senator?
Well, yeah, to a certain extent, I think that's a fair statement. There are the legislature may not be doing it specifically, but their minions are. So there's a organization, OEC Online, Oregon Environmental Council Online, .org, and they had all the talking points. Bring your talking points and share that we want, and so now it's an interesting we. All of a sudden, instead
but
of
we share, is them, we is them, though.
Right. It's not share what you want, share what your goals are, share what you're dreaming about, it's share what we want, and now it's a collective basis for this, quote, sharing. Share what we want, the further electrification of, transit in Oregon, not just in Jackson County, but in all of Oregon. And and so what, it's hard to tell how many are in that we. Is that we really a force to be dealt
well,
with?
Well, it's typically, though, a small amount, yeah. A small number of very committed, ideologically driven people.
Correct.
That is traditionally how these consensus process groups operate in the state of Oregon, how a few hundred people control 4.5 million.
That's exactly right. And so that's the danger that the public needs to be aware of, is there's this steering going on. You know, nothing is just happening random chance or accidentally, but there's momentum behind some issue. For example, how did we get compressed natural gas buses in the RVTD? How did we get those natural buses just a handful of years ago? How many years do you know?
Maybe 10.
Within the past 10 years, And natural gas, compressed natural gas, what a great technology. What a great transition from the diesel belchers, mm-hmm. right? This yeah. is good move. Great clean air move.
Oh, but there's still carbon dioxide that comes out of it. Of course, there's carbon dioxide coming out of you and me and everybody else listening, too, for
well,
that matter.
And when you go to charge up your Tesla, there's you know, emissions from that. They're just not at the tailpipe. So it's a switcheroo because the emissions are happening at some, you know, electric generation plant that's in Wyoming. All of a sudden, that's clean energy. Mm. It's like we can pollute the skies of Wyoming. You know,
but even then, they're not really polluting the skies of Wyoming right now with the new modern coal technology and the coal scrubbers and everything else. It's kind of a fallacy that's being pushed here by this agenda.
It is. And those are the details that get left out of the conversation. So what it turns out is it's intensely marketed solution. So that everybody comes on page. And ODOT has a giant hole in their budget. They've got, you know, think of the $1.5 billion with a B dollars that got spent on designing the I-5 bridge. And, you know, do you see an I-5 bridge up there? Where'd the $1.5 billion go? How was it spent? And the hard part is, if I were a chief auditor,
and you would be a Secretary of State, which is why we talk about electdennis.com.
Right.
He's running for Secretary of State. He would be the auditor of an ODOT.
That's right. And what you might see, all the debits and credits and the invoices and the receipts and the payments, you might see all of that and it would all line out clean as a whistle. And then there's another facet to the audit would be the, you know, to question the legitimacy of the legislative mandate. What did the legislature tell ODOT to do, and what were the guidelines, what were the boundaries, what compliance or regulatory features were embedded in that legislation or missing? And then the public gets to hold the legislature accountable, because how can the legislature just pump $1.5 billion, that's 1,500 millions of dollars, you know, so that's 1,500 million dollar homes that never got built because we flushed the money or put it in the burn barrel. I don't know where it went.
Yeah.
And so these are questions that the public should be interested in.
Yeah. And come to think of it, the amount of money that they're looking to make up in Oregon Department of Transportation, $1.5 billion, so that'd be about, $350 or so for every person living and breathing in the state of Oregon.
Well,
right.
And that's only the part of it. They have a $1.6 billion ADA compliance issue, which has to be managed or met with. And then there's this dream wish of new green energy and construction efforts to, you know, make Oregon transportation equitable.
All right. Well, equitable. See, I love that. Equitable means someone gets transportation who didn't earn it. All right. This is, I'm sorry. It's really ultimately what they're talking about. They're dividing people up into groups. And I guess they're claiming that people of certain races have no access to transportation just because of their race. Is that kind of what's going on here or not?
We didn't hear a lot of that. Of course, everybody is concerned about, you know, those who are, quote, disenfranchised or whatever. And, you know, there were a couple of individuals that were veterans, and there was a handicapped individual riding in a wheelchair and was using the RVDT lift to, you know.
Yeah, Valley Lift.
The Valley Lift program. Rig. Yeah. So the Valley Lift rig, is a helpful effort. But you know how many of those I can buy for $1.5 billion?
Lots.
Right. So we keep misplacing. We want this and we want this and we want this, and that's all fine. But you can't do it all. You're going to have to prioritize and make choices. And so I can buy a lot of Lyft rides and I can spend $1.5 billion and we can line the streets with Lyft rides. And then you realize, but most of those buses are empty, per your comment about the decals on the outside to make it look like people are inside. And now you realize there's money being wasted, and to drill into the inefficiency, to drill into the waste, to drill into the numbers and see how things are getting spent is a big, big issue for the state of Oregon.
Secretary of State candidate and current state senator Dennis Linthicum, we're going to continue this conversation. I want to ask him some questions about how ODOT wishes to fill that budget hole, okay? I'll do that here in just a moment. This is the Bill Meyer Show. And if you have a question for the senator, my number is 770-5633.
Dreaming of moving to your dream property in the county? Most rural properties rely on a well. Clouser Drilling is here to make sure your dream doesn't turn into a nightmare. Before you buy, you'll want to make sure the well is producing plenty of water. If a new well is needed, making sure the property has good water is vital. Clouser Drilling can help. They have drilled thousands of wells in Southern Oregon and can help you make an informed decision. Clouser Drilling can perform research, schedule an on-site visit, and provide free estimates based on your area. Visit ClouserDrilling.com.
Power outages are becoming more common. Patriot Electric can size you with the correct Generac generator backup system for when outages occur. Whether you need a powerful portable or a whole house system to power your house, barn, shop, and pump house, a flip of a switch will produce power when you need it the most to pump water and provide essentials like AC and refrigeration. Call Patriot Electric and get your own Generac generator, an investment you'll never regret. We are Generac sales, installation, and service professionals. Visit PatriotElectricOregon.com.
Saudis drop the petrol, times are changing fast. Russia, China, BRICS, they're shaking off the past. Down in Ashland Town, there's a place to find your trust. Jay Austin and Company's where you gotta put your bucks. Dollar ain't as strong, but the silver's gleaming bright. Gotta hedge your bets, make sure you sleep at night. Winding through the hills to that little country store, Jay Austin and Company will help you keep some more. Get your gold and silver, stash it while you can. Future's feeling shaky, better take a stand. Jay Austin and Company, for your silver and your gold.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your work truck and van headquarters. Proudly offering Adrian Steel interior shelving packages, partitions, and the best ladder racks in the business. Integrate a bed slide or decked drawer system to boost your efficiency. Also featuring the largest selection of commercial fiberglass and metal truck canopies from leading manufacturers such as ARE, SmartCap, Century, and more. Come see Oregon Truck and Auto Authority today and take your efficiency to the next level.
You're hearing the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED.
State Senator and current Secretary of State candidate for the GOP, Dennis Linthicum, is in studio with me. He was at the Transportation Committee meeting, the public hearing at the Expo yesterday. By the way, Dennis, how well attended was that? Were a lot of people there or not?
Yeah, it was pretty. It was pretty well. It actually ran shorter. The evening section from 5 to 7 ended around 6:15. Actually, so it wasn't a packed house. People speaking and speaking and speaking. Okay. 2 minutes each, and so it ran. There was a couple of slideshow presentations to get everybody rolling, and then the public was free to come up and share their perspective, and. You know, I was expecting more, quite frankly.
Public comment, though, is open on this through, September, I believe?
Well, you for this meeting, you get actually 48 hours. Then there'll be another meeting, and you can do it again and again and again. For each meeting, you get 48 hours after the termination of the meeting to submit public comment.
Because I wanted to submit a comment about where ODOT wishes to fill its budget hole, and I'll talk with you more about that. Right now, we have Diana on the phone here right now. Diana, can we hear you okay? You're with Senator Linthicum. Go ahead.
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, I have a question for the senator. I was wondering if during this meeting that ODOT covered the fact that they are in partnership with the Department of Land Conservation and Development Commission in a program called Transportation and Growth Management. And on their topic library, you can scroll down and you can see that they're using smart growth codes, which were developed with Agenda 21 in 1992 at the Earth Summit. So did ODOT address at all their total growth, their transportation growth management program?
No, they did not. It wasn't part of the conversation. Nobody brought it up. If you were in the audience, you'd have been. It would have been good to have heard you speak to that and mention it, you can imagine there's thousands and thousands of line items of things that ODOT is doing, trying to do, hoping to do, et cetera. And there's services and department employees and agency heads that are doing all kinds of subdivision work within the Oregon Department of Transportation. And so they all didn't get to speak. It was just a listening session. The public spoke a lot. There was a round table from 11:30 to 2. There was a tour from 11:30 to 2. From 2 to 5 was the round table. And then from 5 to 7 was the public meeting.
All right. And you know something, Diana, it would probably be good to get your comment in, because the meeting happened yesterday. And so it would be mostly this weekend. This weekend you could get a comment
that's,
in.
That's right.
I'd like to come to the next one. I was unable to make it yesterday. So.
That's right. And the roadshow, you can find it on the OLIS webpage. They really only had the Jackson County meeting scheduled and online, where the address was and the location and venue. But you can find the next one as it comes available. The dates are there, and then just pay attention.
Okay.
I wanted to go to the Bend one, as it's also in my Senate district.
All right. Thank you very much for the caller, Diana. Let me go to Steve. Steve, you wanted to weigh in on the comment on diesel buses, the natural gas buses that RVTD are not considered clean by today's standards, even though they have clean on them side. It's a little bit of irony here. What did you want to mention? Go ahead.
Well, there used to be a page on the RVTD website that talked about all the equipment that they had and the costs and everything, and it showed that the 2016 and newer diesel buses were actually cleaner air quality-wise than the natural gas buses when you consider the amount of energy it takes to produce compressed natural gas.
Huh. It's interesting.
Tim D'Alessandro was on the board of RVTD, and I looked at the numbers on that webpage and divided it out, and it was costing over $30 per ride, and you can hire an Uber for $20. And I tried to tell him, well, what's the deal? Why would you just save $10 a ride? And holy mackerel, he went into backflips over that.
I know. I brought up the same statistic. When you take the RVTD budget and you divide it into, and it's all the money brought into it, and you can say this about Josephine County Transit, too. It is an incredibly expensive cost per ride, but I can't help but think that when you're dealing with bureaucracies, and maybe, Senator, you could comment on this, that the job is not really about delivering rides for people as much as it is supporting buses and bureaucracy and an infrastructure which has been part of the system for a long time. At least that's what it seems to be.
Well, yeah, listener brought up a great point, because when you think about it, Metro faces the same problem. Metro is in up in the Portland metro area. They extremely expensive system. The California fiasco with the bullet train from Los Angeles to Frisco is the exact same thing. You've got this limited capacity, limited ridership within that limited capacity, and literally billions of dollars to put in the direct line from place A to place B. The buses at least are using, existing roadways, but those existing roadways have to be maintained and kept up to a standard to handle the bus load. But you also have wear and tear on that roadway that a small Uber car doesn't take near as much.
But what I was getting at, though, is that if we were really talking about providing transportation options, it would be less expensive to not have many employees at transit companies and really just schedule private sector drivers to be able to pick up people and take them where they need to go.
You're absolutely right. But what's hard about that is it's not collectivism.
Yeah.
So collectivism is where we go. We tell the public, everybody put your $10 into this bucket, and we promise, one, we'll keep you safe. Two, we'll provide you with transportation. Mm. And then now how that money gets spent is, I think, part of the role of the auditor. How did that money get spent? What did we actually get? How many rides did we get for that bucket of money?
And with you running as Secretary of State then, and that's what Senator Linthicum is also doing, this would be something you would be able to then look at, say, all right, we have public transportation, we have these issues with ODOT and more, but what are we getting for the money? And that's what is not getting done under the current milieu, right?
That's right. I think that's the answer the public wants to hear. They want to hear, where did our money go? We spent, you know, $1.5 billion on a bridge design. Is that bridge design still valid today? Probably not. And here you and I are shrugging shoulders at each other. We don't know.
Who knows?
The public doesn't know is my point. Why is this information being, quote, hidden from the public? Maybe hidden's a strong word. Why isn't it being shared widely? Why isn't the organization being transparent? What mm-hmm. is actually, what is the money being spent on? These are all questions the public wants to know. What did I get for my tax dollars? And it's a fair question, and they deserve a fair answer.
All right. Before we take off here, Senator, and I appreciate you coming in here after having gone to the transportation meeting in Medford. The big conversation about this, though, is how to fill the hole, the money hole, over at Oregon Department of Transportation, $1.5 billion short. And I've been mentioning that my concern is that they're saying, well, we're getting less money from the fuel taxes, from the gasoline and diesel taxes, and it's not keeping up with inflation. And, you know, that's a valid criticism, because it is worth less after what's been going on with inflation in the last few years. Here's the other issue, though. We have a bunch of electrical vehicles that aren't paying anything, you know, as far as I can tell, because they're politically favored. And my concern is that where ODOT wants to take it is with Origo, which is the chipping of everybody's car and vehicle to monitor you wherever you go. That's the predetermined outcome where they want to go to magically get their money back, rather than charging electrical vehicles something for their road use. And perhaps just raising the gas tax and indexing it for inflation, which would be a reasonable response. The gas tax is private, or there's no public information. You just bought the gasoline, you paid the money. But the chip that they want to go, where ODOT wants to take this, is shredding privacy and will be ultimately used to have time of use in which you want to drive into a city at a certain time of day, they'll charge you more for it.
That's right. Congestion pricing fits nicely into that model.
It's kind of like a smart meter for your car.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And so that didn't come up. A handful of individuals mentioned it, but that wasn't on the agenda. Raising revenue was on the agenda, and the question was asked, what would be your favorite tool for raising revenue? A lot of people, I didn't actually keep count, but a lot of people thought income tax, sales tax, luxury tax, as well as gas tax, you know, so everybody's looking in the couch cushions
time. But a fuel tax is a easily done private way of doing it works, and it's for the people using it.
And Senator Finley referred to that in his comments. He said right now the estimated fuel tax just to break even and get ODOT's nose above water so that they don't drown is 95 cents per gallon additional gas tax.
Oh, okay. So, well, if this is the case, but you see, that's without them. See, they don't want to tax the electric cars because they're pushing this politically. And whatever they're talking about, I don't know if they need to layer a surcharge on your vehicle and get this or what.
And the weight mileage allocation is whacked out currently, too. There's somewhere between $300 and $400 million of freighter heavyweight vehicle versus private two-wheel drive and four-wheel drive vehicles that's misallocated and has been misallocated every biennium for the past two or three. And that's $400 million that they're going to have to straighten out somehow. And electric vehicles are heavy vehicles. These aren't little light toy trucks that we're pushing around made of fiberglass.
Well, yeah, your typical Tesla, as an example, 4,800 pounds easily, right? Because you're carrying around a one-ton battery, with your vehicle.
That's right. And this additional weight is additional wear and tear and maintenance on the roads.
Was there talk about actually making the electric vehicles pay what the progressives are always they always want to say their fair share? Okay,
right.
Are they willing to do it?
No. Well, that part of the conversation didn't come up. We'll have additional meetings, and I hope people have listened to this radio show and come, with these legitimate questions.
But I want people's privacy protected, and where they want to take it with chipping cars is not private. Because it's about social engineering system.
And the market should be open, fair, and free. If you want to drive compressed natural gas, great, go for it. If you want to drive an electric car, great, go for it. If you like diesel, fine. If you like premium unleaded, great. If you like regular unleaded, 87 octane, go for it. And for 16, it's easier to convince, instead of convincing 4.2 million people, you go to the Capitol building and you buy snacks and lunches for 16 senators. Boom. And now you've got them in the bag, and they pass the bill that says electric vehicles. But electric vehicles don't make any logical sense. The tons of mining, the destruction of our planet, the slave labor in foreign nations that's harvesting cobalt to...
And the wear and tear on vehicles that on the road, that ODOT's supposedly fixing, that they claim they don't have enough money to fix. And it's a lot of this is due to political decisions that have been made to favor one over another now.
And these political decisions have been based on marketing, not based on science. So we've got to get back to recognizing fact from fiction and truth from error, because if we continue to chase the marketing scam, Madison Avenue will sell us anything.
Okay. All right. Senator, I appreciate you coming in here. And of course, Dennis Linthicum is running for Secretary of State. ElectDennis.com is the website. This is one of the reasons he's running for it, because as the Secretary of State, you get to audit agencies such as Oregon Department of Transportation in order to hold them accountable. And are you really getting the money's worth for people when they're sending you money?
And ODOT isn't the only organization. What's Oregon Housing Services doing? How many sticks and bricks? How many homes have they built? How many roofs have they put on? No. How much? Or, what are they doing? And you could walk through a Department of Energy. What's the Department of Energy actually doing? Are we using the appropriate electrons on the appropriate Tuesday, or should we try and clean those up?
Yeah.
And look at the tragedy in Northern California on the Klamath River. Look at the pictures that are coming out of the destruction of the Klamath dams. It's a mud hole mess up there, and we're imagining this is going to restore the salmon. Tell me how and when.
Yeah, a lot of questions, and of course, a lot of places in need of auditing. All right, and that's the Secretary of State's job. I appreciate your take here. I'm out of time at this point, but thanks for stopping in for the conversation.
It's good to be here. I'm glad I was in town and we could set this up.
Yeah, and we'll talk to you next week there too.
Okay,
all right,
good.
Bye-bye. All right. It's 8:44 at KMED and 99.3 KBXG. This is the Bill Myers Show, and we're going to have the Diner 62 Real American Quiz here in just a moment. 770-563-3, 770-KMED. If you haven't won this in the last 60 days, well, you can win this next, and we'll feed you. Good question coming up. News is sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit ValleyViewNursery.com. They're closer than you think.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Hot, stagnant weather is going to keep most of southern Oregon under an air quality advisory through this afternoon. Today's highs are going to be in the upper 90s with pockets of air deemed very unhealthy as smoke from local fires continues to settle over Jackson and Josephine counties. Lower temperatures and shifting winds should clear things up tonight and through the weekend. As another fire season burns hundreds of thousands of acres of Oregon woodland, forestry officials say now the fires won't be truly extinguished until significant rain or snow arrives. The U.S. Forest Service said so-called long-duration fires are common in timber-dominated forests like those found in Oregon and Washington. With a measles outbreak growing in Marion, Multnomah, and Clackamas County, state health officials are asking parents statewide to have their kids vaccinated against the highly contagious disease before school starts. Of the 25 cases reported so far, 20 are in people younger than 19. Bill London, KMED News.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Whether you need a weathertight garage for your vehicles and toys, a functional workshop, an ideal barn for your horses, or an oversized covered riding arena, Johnson Builders has you covered. Choose from a variety of maintenance-free colors, warranted steel panel roofing and siding options, plus alternative finishes like stone, brick, or wood siding to match your aesthetic and functional requirements. Roofing material options too. Visit Johnson.Builders.
Johnson Builders, building for your future.
Rev up your engines, folks. American Wrencher Garage is putting on the brakes this season, ending the high cost of vehicle repairs with their exclusive offer. Discounted Oregon e-deal certificates good for a whopping $75 off any service. Whether it's a routine checkup, oil change, brake repair, or full-on engine overhaul, trust the expert technicians to get the job done right. Visit OregonEDeals.com to snag your discounted certificate. Drive in. Save big. American Wrencher Garage, across from Elmer's on Biddle.
If you have an Alexa device, you can listen to great news and talk anytime by first asking Alexa to enable KMED. After enabling the skill, you can listen to the most popular talk personalities like Bill Meyer and Lars Larson, plus local news and weather 24 hours a day by just asking Alexa to play KMED. Alexa streaming on KMED is made possible by Megan McPherson at Farmers Insurance, Father and Son Jewelry, Hardcastle's Trailers, and Pacific Healthcare Training.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Diner 62 Real American Quiz. And remember, today is Clam Chowder Friday. So good you'll hear the surf and the seagulls. Releasing your mind, you will, all right? And they delivered a taco salad. And Diner 62 has some of the best taco salads in the valley. Grilled chicken sandwiches, too. Two pork chops and eggs, or 8-ounce New York steak and eggs on special right now on the weekends. Great stuff. And today, yes, it is indeed about we're off to see the wizard. Let me go to line one. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Tom.
One more time?
Tom.
Hello, Tom. Well, it was tomorrow. In history, August 10th, 1939, the Wizard of Oz movie premieres. The beloved characters and familiar plot points were mostly all in the original children's book, but what was missing, of course, from Frank Baum's best-selling novel, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, is the music. Helped make those characters so beloved. But anyway, Wizard of Oz adapted numerous times for the stage and screen, even set to music prior to 1939, but it was 1939's film adaptation that earned Baum's work a permanent place not only in cinema history, Tom, but also in music history. So the question for the Diner 62 quiz, when, in what state was The Wonderful Wizard of Oz premiered? Was it A, Nebraska? Was it B, New York? Was it C, Wisconsin? D, Kansas? Or E, California? Which one of those five states? Where did it premiere?
Kansas.
Kansas was the obvious choice. That's what I picked, and I was wrong, too. I'm sorry, Tom. So let me go to the next one. Hi, good morning. You're on the Diner 62 quiz. Who's this?
Hi, this is Rory.
Hey, Rory. Nebraska, New York, Wisconsin, or California? Where did The Wonderful Wizard of Oz premiere?
Let's try New York.
Try New York. You're thinking that with all the big people there. No, it wasn't that either, Rory. Thanks for trying. Let me go to the next line. And good morning. Who's this?
It's Mike.
Hey, Mike. Not New York, not Kansas. The Wizard of Oz premiered in either Nebraska, Wisconsin, or California. Which of the three?
How about Nebraska?
Nebraska. You think a good, hearty Midwest state and... No, we're going down. Oh, boy, we're down to a 50-50 shot here. Good morning. Hi, who's this?
Rose.
Who?
Rose.
Hey, Rose. It's either Wisconsin or California. Where did the Wizard of Oz premiere?
I'm going to say California.
California. Oh, no, it's not that either. Which means the last person standing will likely win this.
Good morning. Hi,
who's this? Good morning.
This is V.
Hey, V. Is it Wisconsin or Wisconsin?
It's a good thing I ended up being last because I was going to say California.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
So I'll have to go. I'll have to just be cheesy and go with Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah, you got that. Last person standing. Well, Oconomowoc, or what is it? Is it Oconomowoc or Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, has long been credited on the internet as the place where the Wizard of Oz premiered. It was actually Green Bay, Wisconsin, that holds the distinction. But according to the American Film Institute, AFI's online catalog says that the Wizard of Oz premiered in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We're going to kind of go with what they're talking about. The main thing is that they wanted to premiere it out in the Midwest someplace because they weren't sure it was actually going to be a hit, really.
Wow.
Yeah, and it wasn't a huge hit. It wasn't a bad hit, but it was kind of a moderate hit, but it was really when it started getting played on television later on that it really became a part of American cinematic history and everybody's, you know, really got into it. So anyway, V, you're going to be going to Diner 62 and you can enjoy all those goodies, okay? All right?
Thank you so much, Bill.
Oh, you're quite welcome. It is 851. Number here, 770-5633. You're on the Bill Myers Show.
Are you using extension cords outside? You likely need Completed Electric Plus to install an all-weather plug where it's most convenient. Need a plug for your power equipment? Completed. Pond pump? Completed. A string of lights on your pavilion? Completed. How about a TV on the patio? Completed Electric Plus installs electric plugs quickly, expertly, and affordably with certified electricians specializing in residential electrical jobs. Call Completed Electric Plus and check those jobs off your list. Visit CompletedElectricPlus.com.
One of each, Forte VIN 807033, MSRP 21645, Sol VIN 920929, MSRP 21740-3699, due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee, trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance, ends 9224.
The summer of savings is here with new Kias from $139 a month at Kia Medford. Now is the best time to get into a new Kia. Shop our huge selection and save. Get a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS. For a new 2024 Kia Soul LX, just $139 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then find the Kia you really want, like new Fortes or Souls, just $139 a month. Don't miss the summer of savings going on right now at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
The Rogue Gardener is sponsored by Grange Co-op.
A lawn that's poorly installed will probably last at the most between 10 and 15 years. You just wish that you hadn't wasted all your work and all your money. The difference to having a good lawn, one that can be good for 40 to even 60 years with proper preparation, proper planting techniques, and proper after-planting care.
Talk to the Rogue Gardener Saturdays 10 to noon. Hear the Sunday morning encore at 9 on KMED.
Hi, this is Mark from Jay Austin, and I'm on KMED.
Speaking of Jay Austin, of course, not only do they have that great full singing ad now that people seem to be really liking, but a lot of folks I've noticed here in the financial world are saying, oh, look, the stocks are doing better right now. All the problems are gone. All the contagion is over. It's all right. Go ahead and buy. And, of course, there's nothing wrong with buying stocks if you wish to speculate in that and invest. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that, too. But I would remind you that when it comes to the debt and the overall strength of the currencies and the financial situations, the interlocking, what do they call them, oh, I guess it just not diversities, derivatives, right? Same kind of thing, DEVs and Rs. But talk to Jay Austin. Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers in Ashland, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland. Call 482-3715. I know that and maybe it's going to be okay, and the contagions are over, and the big trashing of the equities is over, and maybe it is. But over the long term, we're overdue for a big-time correction, and it might be worth making sure that you have some money tucked away for capital and wealth preservation. You're not necessarily looking for the return, just the tucking away and saving of it. And that's what Jay Austin specializes in. Talk to them today, 1632 Ashland Street, jayaustinbrokers.com, fortunereserve.com. Yeah, they're going to tell you that everything's okay, and that's all right, and I hope it is. But one can't tell. One can't tell. You know, you have just a little thing go haywire in some part of the world. Like it was, you know, China. Or not China, rather the Japan trade, the carry trade, the yen carry trade. And look what it did. Billions of dollars vaporized like that. And yeah, they're getting some of it back. But what if you sold after everybody got thwacked? I don't know. 770-5633. Let me go to line one. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hey, it's Matt.
Matt, how you doing, buddy?
Did you mention the carry trade? Did you know it was me?
No, I didn't know it was you. I hadn't had a chance to look at the caller ID. But you know, it was the carry trade that ends up, vaporizing how many billions of dollars in wealth in one day, one or two days,
yeah.
Right?
You know, it's interesting because within a day or 2 days, then the Bank of Japan came out and said that they would not raise interest rates if there was uncertainty in the market. They didn't want to disrupt the market. So on one side, they said, hey, we need to raise interest rates because we're experiencing inflation for the first time in 40 years. And then they come out and say, yeah, we're not going to do this again because it upset everybody, which made me wonder on my conspiracy brain, did somebody call them and say, hey, what are you doing? We have an election in 3 months.
So, the answer is yes and yes, you know, really. And by the way, that's not saying that there's not good values available in the markets. But when you're talking about in S&P and a lot of stuff, there's a lot of pricey stocks right now. You'd be the first to agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. You know what people don't understand is when, first of all, you had mutual funds, and there weren't a lot of them. This isn't even why I called. I called to talk about the Wizard of Oz. But anyway, this isn't. Once you have all these mutual funds, they all own the same stocks. Their top 10 holdings across the board are almost all the same. And then you get a mix once you get farther away from their, what they call their core position. But then you have ETFs on top of that. So that was Diamond, Spiders, and the Qs is what they called the first three. So it was for the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ. And then you have futures trading on the indices, and you have futures on individual stocks. So in the commodity market, you can trade around the clock. You can't trade the weekends, but you can trade around the clock on individual stocks to trade on the futures market. And then, of course, you have options you can trade. So there's all these derivatives.
Yeah, well, I read that they're actually making derivatives of other options derivatives of derivatives almost. I was reading that the other day, that they're ready to come out with that. I mean, is there anything they can't financialize?
No. I wish they wouldn't. One of my biggest problems, when they passed, after the financial crisis, gosh, I didn't even mean to talk about this, so I apologize, but after the financial crisis, and they write this bill, you know, the one thing they didn't include, and who knows why, the reason the banks were melting down was because nobody knew what anybody owned and what the value of it was. That was one of the biggest problems, because everybody panicked. When you have a handful of investments and you have no way of giving it second-by-second pricing, and then you have the Fed going to the bank saying, we're going to do these stress tests, and the banks are freaking out because they have no idea what any of their holdings are worth. So everybody's looking at it and saying, well, what's it worth? I don't know. And so what should have happened is they should have gotten rid of the dark market. They should have gone to the banks, at least in the U.S., because if we do something, the rest of the world will have to follow. And they should have said, You are not going to be trading anything, including beaver pelt, in the United States of America unless you have a market that everybody gets to see. If you're going to be selling mortgage pools, we should all be able to go to the internet and go to some website on the NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange or whatever.
Yeah, and see who owns those. And see who owns those, too. That's the other part, right?
Well, nobody knows which stocks you own or which stocks I own, so I don't know if you can do that. But what should have happened is there should have been a market where all of these things were priced split second by split second, just like they do with stock. This is how, it's just like the assassination attempt. Mm-hmm. The more things you put in the dark, the more people's minds go crazy. It's simple. But anyway, the reason I called is The Wizard of Oz was the second movie to ever be done in color.
That's
the
right.
The very first, I just learned this from watching a Disney thing, was Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, like 7 years earlier, was the first color movie.
1932 for Snow White then, right?
I was floored that the first color movie was a cartoon.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine probably because you're coloring it by hand. I'll bet you they were coloring it by hand rather than actually using color film. Could that be true?
Yep, they do ink. They have an ink process. And I mean, for anybody who is curious about Disney, that guy, he was the Elon Musk of the early 20th century. I did not understand after watching 6 hours of this guy's life, the contributions he made to the military. He's also to blame, by the way, Epcot. I forget what it stands for, but he was the first guy to plan the 15-minute city.
Well, and if he were around today... Or if they were to reanimate his head supposedly in the freezer, you've heard the stories. At the very least, he would probably be burning Disney down right now if he were alive today.
There is no doubt. That man, by all accounts, was an incredible patriot.
Yep. And he wanted safe, nice places for kids and families
yes,
to
did.
Go to. He wouldn't have been going out there doing the drag queen story houring of Disney. But on that note... Thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend for the call.
All right, Bill.
All right. Thank you for the call. Have a great weekend, Matt. Grants Pass. And after all the serious conversation we have, we got to wrap up with a dad joke of the day. Dad joke of the day over at the Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. They have the 2024 model year end closeout on all Iron Bull trailers in stock that has been extended. $750 rebate on the Iron Bull dump trailer, 12 to 16 footer, or a $500 instant rebate on the 16 to 24. Okay. Head over to twodogs.fab and you can also submit your jokes if you want. Today's dad joke, Dad, did you get a haircut? No, I got them all cut. There we go. That's our dad joke of the day to send you off into the weekend. Email Bill at BillMyersShow.com. By the way, I think I'm going to get a comment into that transportation meeting over the weekend. I might put some social media up on that. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll be digging into stuff. Sheriff Nate Sickler joins me Monday, 7 o'clock, okay, on KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass. And we'll talk more about that. Plenty going on.
Since 1938, Blue Star Gas has been serving Jackson and Josephine counties for all your residential and commercial propane needs. That's a long